Good evening and welcome to another edition of Big Gay Date. My name is Carl Skeens.
My name is Dave Mosley.
And tonight we are watching the 1982 Steven Spielberg masterpiece, E.T., The Extraterrestrial.
So if this is your first time listening to Big Gay Date, you may wonder what it is. It is an alternative commentary for movies that we had nothing to do with, or a think of it as a companion track, where everything is kind of better with friends. So sit back with us and watch this movie, and let's look at it in a little different light than perhaps you may do watching it with your family.
For people that don't have companions.
Exactly, yes. And I'm going to guess we're watching the special edition from that logo there.
Yeah, we'll know soon.
We're going to find out real quickly.
Yeah. Oh, God. I just don't like flippy E.T.
Well, I've never seen the special edition, so this is going to be an interesting experience for me.
Oh, man. Okay.
I've heard terrible things, so I can't wait.
Oh, yeah.
Straight in with the title. Interesting.
How's the old Universal logo that just played way fuzzier than the old title?
I know. Well, I think they used the same title for, like, since the early 70s or whatever. Once the studio makes a title, they keep it for, like, 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
So, E.T. is the story of a young boy, Elliot, who falls in love with a space penis, I believe. It's fair to say.
Yeah, that's pretty fair.
Give me your 60-second synopsis of the whole movie.
Alien gets stranded here. Instead of asking an adult that's not the government, because the government doesn't like aliens, instead of asking an adult for help like a normal person, he asks a child, and then kids fly, and E.T. calls home, and then he lives and gets away.
Cool.
Never seen this before, I just spoiled the whole thing for you. But yeah, I'm pretty sure that's about it. Now, okay, thing about E.T. Here in Orlando at Universal Studios, there's a ride. Mm-hmm. An E.T. ride, where you get on these bicycles. They ask you for your name at the beginning of the ride, okay? And you get on these bicycles, and you end up going, you go through the woods when the, like, government people are looking for the aliens. You see the flashlights, super cool. You go to E.T.'s home planet, which is really weird. And then at the end, when you're leaving, the animatronic E.T., he would go, goodbye, Dave, goodbye, Carl, like a speaking spell. Mm-hmm. And it's cool, but when I was a kid, I loved E.T. 1993, came down here, went to Universal Studios. My dad was taking me on the E.T. ride, and as you start getting in the line, you're seeing all these pictures, and it starts to become clear that in order to go on this ride, you have to ride a bike. I couldn't ride a bike yet.
Okay.
So I was bawling like a fucking baby. Oh my God. It was a scarring experience in my childhood, having to ride a fake bicycle that has regular seats and not bike seats.
It is on a track and everything.
Yeah.
It's all the work of sitting on an exercise bike at the gym.
Yeah, and it moves about the speed of, like, a lawnmower.
Moves for you, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have to pedal or anything.
All that for nothing. My dad still hasn't let me live it down. He still makes fun of me.
Oh, I'm going to start now. I did not know this story. Every time we watch it, every time we're, like, there's a bike nearby, I'm going to pull you closer or something, pull you away from the road.
Now, is this an interior garden in a spaceship?
I guess so, yeah. It's clearly not.
Are they alien botanist?
Yeah.
Really?
That's kind of his role, I think, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which is why he's so fucking handy-dandy with the plants.
There we go. He's like Edward Scissorhands, but an alien.
I think he's, in the canon, I think his role is, but what's the fucking word?
A botanist?
Botanist, right. Biologist? Lobotomist? No.
A lobotomist. God, imagine if that was your only, like a phlebotomist. All they do is take your blood. What if you were a lobotomist where all you did was ice pick people in the face?
This movie would be a lot more interesting.
I mean, yeah, absolutely.
If he was the chief lobotomist of the ship who gets left behind, man, he'd be leaving bodies left and right in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
All right, I spy some CG, I think.
Now, was that the guy, was that the 12-year-old with no legs walking in it?
Or I don't
was that
know, because with the special edition, a lot of this was CG'd over the original puppet. I'm looking at it, and the way he's kind of turning ever so nuanced, it's looking like it's CG.
Yeah, his head, the movement of his head is a little more natural than 80s puppets.
Yeah, but I don't know what it kind of looked like originally. I guess we'll...
When we're done, I watched a YouTube video earlier today comparing the remastered CG spots with the originals. We'll take a look at that and you'll know.
Oh, no. Like, it's tough to tell. We're going to find out as soon as we get, like, a glaring shot in the face of E.T.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to tell if it's the CG version or not.
Yeah, because I don't want to have to wait until the kids are flying over the security guards.
Yeah.
Because with guns, they look like cops. With radios, they look like security guards.
Yeah. Always struck me as fucking weird.
Yeah. And how'd they get here so quick?
I don't know. It did seem like they were like they've been there a while.
Yeah,
you know, we've been watching them for like 4 or 5 minutes now, and I guarantee as soon as it breaches the atmosphere, someone's going to be tracking it.
Well, I'd like to think that as it got close to the, I mean, we know months in advance when like an asteroid is going to be within like hundreds of thousands of light years away from like Earth. How do they? You would hope that like somebody would have spotted that shit roundabouts. I don't know, Jupiter, Mars, Saturn.
Yeah. Oh, Annie's off.
How natural is his run?
Waiting with bated breath.
Yeah.
Parkour. God,
see,
that sound.
This is one of those movies, much like Indiana Jones, where I don't need a remaster. The handmade like look and like dated nature of this movie is also part of its charm.
Yeah,
and when you know how well it did in the box office, how it held records like for years, it's nice looking at a movie like this when the director hasn't like stuck his fingers in and like fingered through it a little bit more. Because without that, it's like an accurate time capsule of what the movie industry was at that point in time.
Absolutely. Like, I do remember this puppet. It was a fucking technical nightmare, but it looked really cool.
Yeah.
For convincing enough to fool Drew Barrymore on the set.
Yeah.
She was a gullible little kid.
Although I was reading that the kids had a hard time keeping eye contact with E.T. because E.T.'s wide eyes were so wide.
Right.
So when the kids are in scenes with him, the kids would pick an eye and commit.
Like with that, like with the weird lunch lady at school. They have to just pick one eye and just commit to it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? I think we're watching the original edition.
Yeah, I didn't see any crazy flipping or nothing.
I didn't see any crazy jumping Jack Flash antics through the town. And yeah, I mean, it looked like he was just on a track and some poor key grip is just pulling him through the weeds and shit.
Yeah, we'll keep our eye out, but as of right now, we think we're watching the original.
Listen out for the kid calling his brother Penis Breath.
Penis Breath?
That is another thing that was changed in the special edition.
Wow, I must have walked away from my TV today because I did not catch that.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And the kids apparently want to dress up as terrorists for Halloween in the original, but then they dress up as hippies in the special edition. Because hippies, terrorists, same thing.
Yeah. Okay, so they change the audio to hippie and just assume that hippies dress like terrorists?
Yeah.
Or
that terrorists look like hippies.
Yeah, if you're going to go that far, why don't you just start like CG'ing in some patchouli and tie-dye onto the kid? Like, I don't get it.
I mean, terrorists looked different back in the 70s. Terrorists were more like, you know, the shoe bomber and shit as opposed to Al-Qaeda.
I thought in the 80s, terrorists were European, and in the 90s, they were Middle Eastern.
And in the... Oh, yeah, shit, we're in the 80s now, aren't we? That's
in
early 80s, though, so...
Yeah, like...
This is before Die Hard with the European terrorists slash bank robbers. So we're probably still in the...
But even then, even before that, like the communists and shit, because the communists were evil, the communists and the Japs. If you were in America in the 70s, there was a tad bit of racism.
Just a touch.
And hatred on everyone other than you. But I mean, I guess
but
that's still the case.
Thankfully, all that shit stopped. And yep. America's a great place
oh,
now.
Oh, God. I don't think there's more shitty people here than there were 6 months ago. I just think the shitty people now feel confident in not having to be closeted shitty.
They can show their true colors.
Yeah, just go back to faking it. Go if you're racist, I'm not racist. I don't hate gay people. I don't hate on people unless you're an asshole. If you do hate on people because of shit they can't control, that's fucking fine. Just go back to doing that at home and pretending like you're loving and like a good fucking Christian or whatever, like when you're out in public. Just put on a public persona.
Just play the role.
Yeah.
Play the role of one big happy country.
We're all playing a part.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's a little fucked up. I also like how Spielberg, until like the tail end of it, everything's shot from kid height.
Oh, yeah, nice touch.
Everything shot from like
makes it more relatable for as a kid's story. That's an excellent touch.
And until the last 30 minutes, they don't even like really show adult faces.
Yeah, it's kind of
all.
What's that?
Like
what's
Snoopy?
That yeah, like Dexter's
Peanuts.
Yeah.
Peanuts, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The adult says like wah, 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 wah.
Yeah. It's nice. It totally makes it more relatable.
Yeah.
Speaking of cameras on eye height, I was hanging out. My sister lives out behind Disney. Bunch of like empty land around her and shit.
Sure.
And we put the new GoPro on one of the dogs, and we put the new GoPro outdoor cat.
You're one of those assholes.
Well, the dog, we don't really let the dog leave, like, the field, you know? So that's just funny to see, like, him ducking, and, like, when you see it from the dog's point of view, and you see him ducking, and you see us in the distance looking for him, and when we turn around to look another direction, you see the dog just take off running away. But the cat, bro, going from the cat's vision, man, that cat has a fucking great day.
Uh-huh.
Bro, at like cat, fucking five of the neighbors feed it treats and shit.
Oh, shit.
It goes across 535 to like a school during the day and plays with kids. I thought it just hung out in the backyard like
just
a stoner.
Slept.
Like,
yeah.
It does really dangerous shit for a cat to be doing, man.
Oh, my God. It just reminds me of that video that went that I'm seeing pop up again recently is with the guy who strapped the GoPro to his kid's head when they played hide and seek.
That's so funny.
That's why I imagine you the footage of you getting back with the dog.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the cat also, cats seem to walk steadier. It was a lot
more deliberate. Yeah.
It was nicer to watch the cat. The dog, every time he takes off running.
Yeah, motion sickness.
Yeah, it's like watching Blair Witch Project in the front row.
Is that cat's more like a steady cam.
Yeah. Cats get it, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a dog person or a cat person?
I've
because you don't
liked,
have any pets here
I don't,
at the house.
No, I've never liked dogs, if I'm being honest. Well, dogs have never liked me, so I've decided, you know what? Fuck it goes both ways.
Now, do you like cats?
I love cats.
Why is that? Because they're independent?
Yeah, I don't need to. Like, I can just check in with them from time to time. It's more like a buddy than a dependent, you know.
Yeah. They're there.
I'd rather
when
have
they
a friend.
Robin.
I'd rather have a friend than a child.
Fair,
you know.
Fair.
And I think that's where they kind of that's where the separation is.
Aside from the food, they don't need us. Fuck it. You let it outside. It doesn't need you for shit.
Yeah.
You know.
Like it. Like you've just proven your cat has got its own thing going on throughout the day.
Yeah. Man, I had no idea. Now I'm kind of worried about it. Crossing like a Popka Island, crossing a 6-lane road.
But you're gonna get footage back one day, and it's gonna be like this cat goes over to like fucking it's brokering these massive drug deals and shit all across town, making drops and shit.
Hell yeah!
Walk's gonna stroll into this like Russian poker game, just so.
Bro, I just started watching Pickles the Dog.
What's that?
It's a it's an Adult Swim show. The animation's really weird. Like Bob's Burgers, if you don't like that type of animation, it takes a while to get around to it.
Yeah.
But Pickles the Dog is a stupid-ass dog that is also possessed by Satan and is the embodiment of evil. bullies pick on like his owner. He eats said bully in the back of his dollhouse. In the back of his doghouse, there's a stairs that go down to hell where he has like BDSM slaves and shit. Pickles the dog.
Just hardcore.
Short episodes. Watch one and get back to me because it's the weirdest shit I've ever seen.
Definitely a physical puppet there, which is really cool. It holds up pretty good, I think.
Yeah, well, that's a great shot. I would like to think that that shot was so good, even if he was replacing shit, they wouldn't replace that.
I think they did, though.
Oh, God, that sucks.
Yeah.
That sucks so hard. Because when it's really good, like, practical work, you gotta keep that don't just cover everything with CG so it all looks the same. If your CG can't be identical to the practical work, don't throw your CG on it.
Yeah. The worst instance of that I've ever seen is the Thing remake. Have you ever seen that FX video that shows what the puppets looked like that they built for that thing?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's completely unrecognizable. They just plaster CG all over it in the final cut.
And those guys work so hard. And in puppeteering, we had the capability to do way crazier shit practically now than they did when they filmed the original.
Yeah, that's what's the cool thing is. Like, those puppets that they created for the remake.
And are we calling that a remake or a prequel?
It's a remake.
Because it's technically a prequel.
It's strictly, yeah.
But it has
the same beats and everything, and it tries to recapture the magic, but it doesn't. And a lot of that is because it's just not scary when you can see that the things on, like, CG ages. Mm-hmm. Practical effects do age badly as well sometimes. I'm sure we're going to see some really janky shit in this one.
Mm-hmm.
But it still looks more like it's in the same world. At least you know it was physically there at the time than CG, which becomes a lot more obviously fake as the years go on, and that becomes because that the quality of that increases much faster than physical effects do.
Well, I feel like the quality downgrade in the Thing prequel might have had something to do with lack of John Carpenter and Kurt Russell.
I mean, it's not. You could say that, but it's also it's so identical. They're using that as the framework. You know, they're using that to hit all the same beats as the original movie. There's no reason why it wouldn't be as good.
But there totally is, though, because you can hit all the same beats, but if you have a character that you give a shit about or an actor that you relate to, that... Okay. Adam Sandler, Morgan Freeman. Same monologue. Morgan Freeman would give you cold chills. Adam Sandler would not. Right? I mean, just as an example.
I can't fault your analogy. I want to pick away at it a little bit, but at its core, no, you're absolutely right.
Think about Escape from New York and Escape from L.A. Those movies are amazing because they're self-aware, they're tongue-in-cheek, and it's got Kurt Russell in Kurt Russell's like man prime when America had grown up with him like, through their whole childhood. When they finally remake that movie, I guarantee you it's going to be nowhere near as good as the originals. Nowhere.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
They've recast him, too. Of course. I think he's an English actor. And Kurt Russell's like, Snake Plissken's American. And I'm like, Snake Plissken's a fictional character, but yeah. I get what you're saying.
Well, I mean, the thing with the Thing remake is that it wasn't somebody trying to play the Kurt Russell role. You know, it wasn't somebody trying to be that same person.
Mm-hmm.
It was...
But I mean, really...
I get what you're saying.
There'd totally be somebody to fill that void, almost like in Prometheus, that... what's her name? The girl from Girl with the Dragon Tattoo? She's filling the void that...
Sigourney Weaver?
That Sigourney Weaver created.
Okay.
You know, like, in the new... There's always someone trying to play that role, and nobody does it... Prometheus was not terrible... But ain't nobody Sigourney Weaver, you know?
I will concede.
Did you see that the new Blade Runner, the latest Blade Runner 2049 information that came out was...
New character?
Edward J. Momos finally got to... He finally got to acknowledge that he's in it. He's like, I'm only in one scene. It's a very crucial scene. He goes, and if you think back to the original, I was only in four. And everybody remembers my character. You know, he's like, so look out for me. I'm there.
Cool.
But it's only one.
That's good.
Yeah, that's... I totally dug his character. He was a badass.
Yeah.
Now, okay, we're going to bring that right back to E.T. in Blade Runner as Harrison Ford. Right?
Yes.
There's a deleted scene in E.T. that got cut before they released it, where Harrison Ford cameoed as Elliot's principal.
Which is a nice little, like just if you imagine him as Dr. Henry Jones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like he gives up archaeology and running around, swinging with monkeys and shit. And
teaching horny-ass college kids to teaching kids, because that's safe.
Yeah. And then he takes up a role as a principal in a little ho-dunk little town, hoping for less adventure.
Yeah, okay.
Same universe, let's imagine that.
Extended universe. Did Indiana Jones, when he died, did he die? Because, okay, we're 2017, that motherfucker's dead if he was alive. When he died, did he die in a blaze of glory, doing something? Or do you think he retired and died as like an old man with a bunch of cool ass stories and a dusty whip on the shelf?
How did his dad die? Did they acknowledge that? I presume he just...
I don't think they acknowledged it.
No. Well,
he
here's
was
the
just
thing.
Dead by the time the fourth one happened.
Here's the thing. Did Indiana Jones die? Because he drank from the Holy Grail in the third one.
Well, I'm assuming that because in the fourth one, he looked old as shit in comparison to the third one.
Mm-hmm.
That did not work for him.
Okay.
You know, because he aged a lot.
Let's assume it didn't then, yeah.
Are we going on the you stay young forever or your body ages, you just don't die? Because that would suck.
Yeah, your body's just falling apart and your minds and your soul's just along for
but
the ride.
But that might actually be the thing, because the knight Templar that was guarding the chalice was all old and rickety and
shit.
That's
what I was going to say, yeah. And he probably, if the temple hadn't collapsed, he'd probably still be alive as well.
So Indy might actually be immortal and just getting more rickety by the day.
Mm-hmm.
That sucks.
And now he's presenting Tales from the Crypt.
God damn it, why the fuck did we do this? God, I'm so bummed out now.
So I think that shot where we just saw of... this is cute with the Reese's Pieces. This mm-hmm. shot we're seeing of E.T. with the full body, this is what you were talking about. There's a 12-year-old kid who was born without legs, and basically he's just waddling along. His arms are where E.T.'s legs are, and he's literally just walking across the floor, basically.
Much like our friend Damien.
Yes. Which is like, why has Damien not done this?
Cosplayed as E.T.?
Yeah.
Bro.
It would be such a fucking hit. We know so many people that can make a full body E.T. He would win every convention. He'd win the internet.
Yeah.
For so long.
But honestly, so many people would take that picture and reshare it and be like, parenting done right, and not realize it's an actual adult.
Yeah. Until he talks and says some wisecracking shit.
Yeah, yeah. Until he starts fucking with you and telling you your mother's a whore and shit. That's the kind of friends we have.
Absolutely.
Kind that make you question your friendship sometimes.
So do you know the story of the Reese's Pieces and why they're in here?
Yes, but you should probably tell it to the listener.
So originally they wanted M&M's to be the candy of choice, and they went to the Mars candy company to get money. They wanted $1 million or something, but they wouldn't let Mars read the script before they said yes. So Mars is like, no, we're gonna pass. Then they went to Hershey's, makes Reese's Pieces, right?
Yes.
So they went there because they wanted Hershey Kisses to be it, and then Hershey had this new candy coming out called Reese's Pieces that they wanted to promote a little bit more. So, yeah, it was a $1 million contract to put Reese's Pieces in here. And it paid off really big because everybody fucking goes apeshit over Reese's Pieces now. Like, Reese's Pieces were not a thing in the UK until kind of recently. And if it wasn't for this movie, I don't think we'd have them over there.
Bro, this movie is what turned on my lifelong love affair with Reese's in general.
Mm-hmm.
I got started with Reese's Pieces, and then it just turned to peanut butter.
In general, yeah.
Bro, I'll eat a whole thing of peanut butter my damn self, but like this movie got me hooked on Reese's Pieces.
I'm not a fan of peanut butter, so I've never tried.
Is it the consistency or the taste of the peanut part?
Peanut, yeah.
So like that cookie butter that's made out of like the biscotti, like gingerbread cookies,
yeah.
That would be a little easier for you to try than the as long as it wasn't, is it nut or peanut like specifically?
It's nuts in general.
You don't like nuts?
I don't like nuts in my mouth.
Okay. More about the not the nuts.
Mm-hmm.
I was just going to make a dick joke, but we do that every time. And you beat me to the punch.
Is E.T. falling asleep?
He's pretending he's Elliot.
Monkey see, monkey do. So, we are drinking tonight, as we do every night, and this isn't a drinking game by any stretch of the imagination, but we will be drinking throughout just to encourage the conversation, I guess. What are you drinking tonight, Carl?
Tonight, I'm drinking Yingling to get me through the movie,
mm-hmm.
and when we get to our favorite part...
This is the beginning part that really is a drinking game, I guess. Every yep. time we will pick a favorite moment of the movie and we will take a shot to celebrate.
I hate tequila, but I have Ooh. Like a shot left of the Jose Cuervo Rolling Stone tequila.
I see a little red spot on there. Did you buy that at a discount? Or Oh, it's a little seal. Oh,
yeah, it's a little seal. Oh. Fuck you, dog. I don't scrimp on my alcohol except for when I buy Yingling. But, and honestly, I can't drink Guinness when we do something like this, because then I'll feel fat and bloated, and it's like I've ate a bunch.
Look at this guy. If you find candy on the floor in the forest...
You fucking know it was Elliot.
Why not eat it, I guess?
Oh, God, that's... Yeah,
It looks like the Easter Bunny just took a shit in the forest, but better eat it to be sure. I guess he's the only kid in the town that eats Reese's Pieces.
So I mean, I'm
going to track him down.
E.T.'s definitely the only alien that eats Reese's Pieces.
Yeah, yeah. Does this work, by the way?
Yeah, but there is a very, like, fine moment. You have to get it right at the, like, correct temperature.
Okay.
Because if it's too much... Even Ferris Bueller said it. Like, if it's too high, you get a worried mother, you go straight to the hospital, and that's not good for anybody.
Got a fever of 150.
Yeah, but the Ferris Bueller trick for the clammy hands, that is a real thing, and that fucking works.
Okay.
I normally just say, you don't have to fake physical symptoms, you just have to be a really, really convincing liar. When I was a kid, I would just say that I was really sick and I'd lie to the nurse.
Yeah.
And they'd send me home and we could do the Bob Ross watchings.
Yeah.
That's all you do.
Yeah, it was a little too easy to lie to.
And your parents fucking know.
Yeah.
They fucking know.
I got so much time off of school just for faking an illness because I didn't want to be there.
Yeah, and when your parents know, I'm pretty sure... They would rather at least know where the fuck you were than think you're at school and have you skip all day.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, in the UK, skipping school wasn't really an option for us because the town's so fucking small.
Mm.
You can't really blend in anywhere. You have nowhere but to stay home, and yeah, someone's going to spot you there. You're going to be found out.
Yeah, my last, like, 2 years in high school, I skipped... Like, a lot. And in Florida, if you skip over, like, 30 days, automatic, like, failure.
Wow.
I
mean, it's fair.
And I skipped for, like, my mom found out when I was a day, like, 46,
Ooh.
47. And
down here?
Yeah, down here. Right. That was my senior year. My junior year, they caught me at, like, day 20-something. And they're like, don't do it next year. So next year, I did it, like, double. And the only thing that got me out of it was my teachers really liking me being a professional performer in stuff here in town, and basically bribing my teachers with event tickets.
Nice.
Yeah, it was the dopest shit, man. Dopest shit. Okay, fine, just give me a ticket, I'll come to your show, and write me a report on what it's like to be a professional 9-year-old like performer.
Nice. I mean, that's kind of the shit that, you know, kid actors get away with as well, because they don't have time for school. They're like, just write a report on what it's like to be on a set and shit, or flying around the world doing press.
Yeah, the ones that manage to stay in public school and not have to, like, change classes, I'm always, like, it's super admirable,
mm-hmm.
you know? That means their parents are at least staying on top of their shit, because you could just as easy get the kid a tutor and then never let him go back to school again.
Right. They can have Star Wars.
Oh, so these toys is why he recognizes Yoda on Halloween.
I guess so, yeah. Not that he fucking recognizes him from the Senate.
That's some bullshit. I get George Lucas, I get you and Spielberg are homies, but just continue doing, like, printed shit. That's classy.
Yeah. keep your circle jerk on the written page.
Yeah, you ain't gotta... I mean, if E.T. knew Yoda from the Senate, okay, then that would make this, Twin Peaks, and Star Wars all happen in the same... No, not Twin Peaks. I was watching a movie today with Robert, the dude that killed his wife in 2001 and then fucking walked. What? Oh my god!
Give me a last name. It might sound familiar.
I'll find it out when we're done. I don't want to waste time right now, but okay. I really don't remember. But yeah, like if E.T. knew Yoda from the Senate, then that would make this and Star Wars in the same universe, and I don't need all that.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't gotta be Tarantino. I don't wanna blow my mind trying to connect the timelines between 8 movies and this masterpiece.
One taking place a long time ago. One taking place in 1982, like that's too vague a timeline to even start working out.
Yeah, and I get in the book, E.T. is really old, like he's upward thousands, right?
I mean, I could buy it just kind of looking at how slow he is and shit, kind of bumbling around the place.
Well, that's just the stubby legs. Have you ever seen a T-Rex try and pick anything up?
Only a lawyer.
Yeah, and that was with his mouth.
Yeah. His sound is so weird.
Yeah.
Great. So I'm sorry. Yeah. You have Tequila.
What do you have?
What is your favorite moment though? By the way, when are we going to be seeing this?
Does the house get tinted by the government people in this, or is that Close Encounters?
No, it's this one. Yeah,
I'll take that one because that scared the shit out of me when I was.
Yeah,
a child.
That was the part that really freaked me out as well.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to pick when E.T. gets drunk off one beer.
Oh, yeah, he's like that girl you never want to party with.
Yeah, he's walking in the kitchen, kind of like... He's like me. The reason is this. He's like me the morning after we go too hard on one of these big gay dates. I wake up and I just kind of shuffle into the kitchen. I bump into shit on the way. And I'll probably fall over at some point as well. So I'm going to be drinking Sambuca.
Okay. According to the novelization, E.T. was 10 million years old.
Oh.
That's a little too much.
Exactly. What a way to celebrate a milestone by coming to Earth and having such an awesome adventure.
Yeah.
And nearly getting killed by the government.
Right? My birthday's
a nice round number to be.
My birthday's on Sunday. Let's go to St. Cloud. You know? That's the worst.
I'm sure E.T.'s 30th birthday was kind of shitty as well, because it's like, who cares? We're going to do this 9,999,000 more times.
Yeah.
Go balls to the wall for your birthday, E.T.? No.
Hell no. I stopped going balls to the wall on my birthday years ago.
Mm-hmm.
On my birthday...
I keep my balls as far away from the wall as possible on my birthday now.
Yeah, right? Yeah, like, I literally, on my birthday, I'm getting a case of beer and putting it in the trunk, and then I'm just making the rounds to see my friends and have a beer with my friends.
Right.
One beer per person, and I'm gone. Ain't nobody got to buy me beer.
That sounds like fun, though, because you have a lot of friends.
Yeah, so. Ain't nobody got to buy me beer. Ain't nobody got to buy me a present. You just give me 10 minutes of your time. Ain't even got to say happy birthday. I'm just taking stock of who's still around.
That's nice. Let's get ours out of the way now. You get more than 10 minutes.
Yeah. If I don't have to come here, that means I get longer date night at the end of the night.
Fantastic.
Uh-huh. It's so weird that she was in Playboy.
Well, yeah, looking at her now. Yeah.
I know a magician that when he started dating this girl,
mm-hmm.
right, he he's like, hey, he's like, you want to see a picture? My girlfriend, you want to see what I've been fucking? And we're like, all right. And he takes out his phone and he opens up this picture and it's like a 5-year-old girl. And like the dudes around us, people start shifting their seat. People's like knuckles start getting white, you know, like, you're fucking, we're going to beat your ass. And then he's like, oh, no, no, no. She's like 27. This is just her childhood picture. What?
Deliberate trolling.
Bro, yeah, you troll the wrong people, yeah. You're going to get your ass kicked.
It's not the way to do it, man.
You troll a parent and you're fucked. Because they're not going to wait. They're not going to wait for the punchline.
No.
Oh, you're having sex with children? You're done. I'm beating your ass and calling the cops.
They won't even find that funny when there is a punchline.
You hear the dad in Texas that just beat the dude to death that was raping his 5-year-old daughter. And granted, anybody tries raping your kid, you're going to redline. And that's horrendous. But he beat the man to death and then walked.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not saying I don't understand or agree with them. I'm just saying you let them walk. Vigilante justice is not supposed to be openly encouraged.
Supposed to work.
Yeah, it's only supposed to work when it's really needed. You're not supposed to just encourage that shit.
Yeah, that's a dangerous precedent to set.
Yeah, yeah, it's very quickly going to turn into 17-year-old boyfriends with 16-year-old girlfriends that are, you know, like when it's a child and an adult. There ain't no judge in the world that is going to think less of you for what you did.
Mm-hmm.
They may convict you, mm-hmm. but they're not going to hate on you as a person.
Yeah.
But, yeah, bro, if dads can just get away with that and not... I feel bad for kids that are on that, like, teenage-adult cusp.
Yeah.
Those kids that are already doing jail time.
It's
yeah.
a very fine line.
You piss off a parent and your girlfriend's 16 and you're screwed. But when you turn 18, they're off limits. Off limits. Right? Isn't that the rule? That's totally the rule. I mean, that's the rule that it should be. Not I'm pretty sure people.
When you're 18, they're off limits.
When you as a dude, mm-hmm. when you turn 18,
yeah.
17-year-olds are fucking off limits.
I don't know what the rules are over here, honestly.
They fucking should be, bro. Should be.
It makes
sense.
It's
a sticky situation.
Yeah.
Bro, if your girlfriend... Just
you're
wait.
Gonna have a bad time.
Give it a year, man.
Yeah. Honestly, you should be hanging out with people who are in the same year as you anyway, so at most you're waiting, like, what, a couple more months or something?
I've always liked adults more than kids. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, you know, and even now, I...
Are we still talking about fucking? I'd hope so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. No, we're not. I was just talking in general. Where you said you shouldn't be hanging out with people your own age, and yeah, that's actually pretty on point.
Yeah.
Yes, I was not talking about fucking, but yes, of course I like fucking adults. I have no idea what the other end of the spectrum is like, so let's just leave that there.
Yeah.
Aww, dead plant. Oh, I like his light switch.
Oh, nice. It's so close to being the Hulk's penis, though. It's like a centimeter off from just flicking the Hulk off every time.
That's a great idea. I want to.
I mean, I've seen those novelty night switches where it's like the man's penis. You just flick it on up and down.
Bro, see, I've seen those, but honestly, don't just buy one of those for your friend. Make one personalized, and they have to flick your penis.
Yes,
that's funny.
We'll take those pictures we shot of you for the Christmas thing.
Yeah,
it was where we took some shots of Carl for his Christmas surprise for his fans, and it's literally just him in a hat, holding various items in front of his crotch. Like items small enough that they could very easily be removed from a photo to make a little square for a light switch.
Yeah, and surprisingly, those pictures are still getting play on my Insta.
I wonder why.
Yeah, bro, I'm not
You're
even
a sexy man,
bro. Apparently, I mean, out of makeup, I'm a normal fucking dude, but in makeup, makeup makes everybody look sexy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, bro, still getting play. Still getting play.
Just ride the wave all year long.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not going to add anything to my Instagram.
You should be looking like you're fucking a turkey for Thanksgiving.
Bro. Bro. God, what am I going to do for St. Paddy's Day?
As in tomorrow?
Yeah.
Just, I don't know, hold a pint of Guinness or something, or...
I need to get an opaque bottle with a thick neck, like a thick mouth opening, so then I can just put it on my dick.
Mm.
You know, mm-hmm. shave, you sure. know, from, like, neck all the way down.
Uh-huh.
And then just, like a tube sock, like a tube sock on your dick, and you were a chili pepper, only instead of a tube sock, it's a bottle.
It's a cocktail.
There you go. There you fucking go. There you go. God, why didn't we think of this before?
I'm telling you, man, you just tell me that you need a photo for something, and I will think of a super gay photo for you.
Holy shit. My buddy just wrote my magician buddy just wrote a magic book that he gave me, and he's like, hey, the next time you're doing a show and you're in whiteface, just take a picture, you and your partner with the book, and send it to me, and I'll use it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, fuck that. So I went home, and I got in whiteface, and then I got in my costume, and I sat on the toilet with my undies, like, on my knees, and then I held the book open like I'm shitting and reading his book, and I sent it to him with the caption, I finished it in one sitting.
Great.
So, I mean, I don't know if he's going to use it, but do with it what you will.
Yeah. It's just good to have options out there for people to use, yeah?
Fuck yeah.
You lost something?
My lighter. Well, looks like I'll have to dig around.
There you go. You want to use this?
Yeah, sure. I'll take it. Thank you.
What's the name of that thing?
A grill lighter?
Yeah.
One of those long ones?
You're going to look super fancy lighting it. Oh, my.
Yeah.
How very Casablanca.
Oh, yeah. I have a clown flower with one of these in it. Mm. So then you can put it up to somebody's face and they think you're going to spray them like an asshole and then you just light their cigarette.
You just light their face on fire. Fooled you. always the jokester.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Oh, E.T. Now, here's one thing that this movie is kind of hit or miss sometimes.
Mm.
Eyelines. We've talked about eyelines before.
Yes.
With puppets and CG and how the eyelines are correct, it sells it.
It's an important part of making any visual effect believable.
Yeah, his eyes are so damn big that the times when the eyeline is wrong, and not when somebody else is looking at E.T., because that's fucking fine, but when E.T. is looking at something, when like that flower, it looked like he was looking in the direction of the flower, but not directly at it, just because his eyes, you know?
Sure.
Because they're so big, when it's slightly off, it's noticeable, like more noticeable than normal.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, like I said, that puppet, it was a huge technical undertaking for them.
Oh, yeah.
Gonna get hit by a bus, kid. Get out the fucking road.
Like the snow on the subway. Have you seen
that
recently?
Yeah, I saw that video. Like, why the fuck would you come so fast into a...
And it slows down right when it starts hitting the snow.
Yeah.
Within like 5 hours of that, like first getting posted on Reddit, somebody had posted another one, same video, where it starts full speed and then once it starts hitting the snow, it slows down.
Right.
But once it slows down, Time in a Bottle by Jim Croce starts playing and it's way funnier just to watch people get taken out.
Oh my god. So
yeah, it works for the same reason that Quicksilver scene was the greatest.
Yeah, that video, like, it looks cool, but you just think, like, you just need, like, one rock or one large piece of ice in there.
Not even. They're fucking city folk are used to snow being this nice thing.
I love this effect as well. It's such a good visual gag. Just keep on panning all the way past him. And it reminds me of the sticky bandits in Home Alone 2 when they're hiding in the dollhouse.
Oh yeah.
They just freeze, you know. It's like, that works.
But like, it's the kilogram of metal and the kilogram of feathers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A kilogram of loose feathers is fucking fine.
Yeah.
But a kilogram bag of feathers is still gonna hurt like a son of a bitch.
Yeah.
So like, what did they, when that one girl, and you see the cell phone looking at that girl, and that girl's got her phone out, like she's watching the snow, and she's trying to step out at like the wrong latest moment.
Yeah.
But like, what did all those people expect? Clearly that can't be the first time that's happened. Did you all just move to the city?
They're thinking they're just gonna get like, it's gonna be like you know, it's just going to dissipate and just shower them in a little flurry of snow, but instead it's a wall of snow that comes and fucks them.
Yeah, bro, I've had a car go into a puddle when I was walking on the street and the water splashed in my eye so bad it fucking hurt and I was blinded for like 3 minutes. So like, yeah, a wall of snow, that shit would be frightening. If one of them didn't break something or at least get a little bit bloody, I'm surprised. I love how the dog, you know, just, I see the dog, and, like, in the course of this movie, the dog's, like, taken aback because it's an alien.
Yeah.
But, like, in the back of my mind, I'm just thinking about shooting.
Yeah.
And thinking about how fucking puzzled this dog is.
Yeah. Just on the set, and how a dog, like, I want to see the first reaction to the dog with that thing, like.
Yeah. And it doesn't, like, this has got to freak the dog out. Like,
yeah.
I know the first time my cat saw me in whiteface, they didn't like it.
Right?
Yeah.
Dogs cock their head and shit. Yeah.
Movie animals have got to have some of the most peculiar interactions.
They've got, if they could talk, the stories they could tell.
Yeah. Or even Hellboy with the kitties.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, what the fuck do those cats think is going on? Because, like, I had a vet that once told me that, like, cats don't look at you like their owner. They just look at you like another really big cat.
Mm-hmm.
Which is one of the reasons why they don't give two shits.
Yeah.
But really, is that's the hand walker, right?
Yeah. This is my scene here for the favorite shot. So, and I've always been confused about this. So, what's the connection between E.T. and Elliot that means I? This is me, like, every morning. What's the connection that means that he's now getting drunk the same way that E.T. is? Like, how's that happening and why?
I don't know.
Oh, I left the Sambuca up there. Shit. Because I figure that's what's happening. The more that, like, E.T., you know, he's belching and everything because E.T.'s drinking.
Yeah, the emotional connection, because he's the only one that E.T. has made a connection with. So if this emotional connection is real, then it would be super hardcore. Is that the other girl, the blonde girl, the pretty girl? Is that the other one that ended up posing for Playboy too?
I don't know as much about kids posing for Playboy as you.
Well,
do
no,
that.
She did as an adult. I just know when Drew Barrymore posed for Playboy, they mentioned E.T. They mentioned her being the little girl you grew up with.
Of course, yeah. This is her first movie, and I don't know who that other girl is. And she's the one that he kisses in the moment, right? When all the frogs are bouncing around.
Yeah, then it's totally. Then that's totally the girl.
Okay. We're going to date rape these frogs.
Oh, God. Oh, cool. I got a nice bottle out of it.
You're drinking... okay. So what I was going to say is that we'll drink my liquor for my favorite moment and your liquor for your favorite moment.
Well, that bottle, I thought, had like a shot and a half to two shots. It only had one.
Okay.
I don't mind doing this, but that means that when it comes
I have some other tequila I can take for your shot, but it just means you've done it backwards.
Then that means I'll drink Sambuca next time.
Okay.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay. And you have to drink tequila.
I prefer to put the tequila off, and it'll be funnier if you do tequila now because you hate it.
I fucking hate tequila.
For much more fun for the rest of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So let me pour some tequila. Let's pour some Sambuca because, yeah, that scene of E.T. where it's, yeah, it's. And I'm glad it's still the puppet in this version we're watching.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck. This is.
God, he looks like he's having a terrible time. Oh, my head. My head.
Dude, I need a man. Can you open that?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. Don't laugh. This will be you real soon. If you're starting on tequila.
God damn.
Right? Maybe we won't be doing Sambuca.
Do we have a...
Aha. Uh-huh.
Lefty Lucy.
Thank you, sir.
I'm pretty sure you put that cap on last time with an electronic lug wrench.
I think it's just I'm spilling it all over the place, so it just kind of forms a bond.
fair.
All right, sir.
Cheers
to the first shot.
Oh. I have to pee, but I'm going to hold it off so when I go to when I'm not nauseous from tequila.
Oh, the first cut is the deepest. Not cool. So much of this scene just was really weird for me as a kid. So yeah, you got E.T., you got Elliot acting real fucking weird because of stuff that E.T.'s doing. And we never, in the UK, we've never cut up animals in, like, especially as a kid.
That's not a thing
in the UK.
Because here it's frogs and sheep eyes and baby pigs.
Yeah, at a really young age. We just look at pictures.
Now, I've heard of classes, like, I know, like, in schools where they don't have all that much budget, like, the whole class will dissect, like, one.
Right.
You know, like, standing around the table.
One frog to share between everyone.
Hey, bro, there's a lot of underfunded schools.
Dire times.
I've heard of classes having to actually kill the frog. Oof. And that sounds terrible.
I imagine a few frogs were killed here. Like, she's getting real fucking close with the feet to those frogs, you see?
Yeah. Yeah, if that girl stepped on a frog, you know shooting is done for like 45 minutes while that girl cries.
Yeah, and they get pizza on their phone and everything.
Yeah.
Did you ever stand on a fat kid to kiss a girl in school?
No, but I used to ride a fat kid like a horse between classes. Tony, I love you, Tony. You know Tony Tantello?
No.
Oh, man, works at Universal.
No, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Makeup artist. Yeah, bro, this kid people would pick on him for being fat, and he was, like, the best fat kid for it, because he knew what he was and didn't give a shit and knew you were just an asshole. Yeah, because once you own something, now the people's insult doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, to name it is to claim it. You take the edge off of the words and...
Yeah, and so we used to do really fucked up sounding shit between classes, but basically it made it where... Nobody wanted to fuck with the fat kid for being fat. They all just loved Tony because he was really fun to be around.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Assuming that the story is the same the way he tells it.
Yeah.
I kind of want to hear his side before I'm like totally on board with
absolutely,
making fun of the fat kid.
I don't know if he was going home at night and crying his eyes out, but I mean, I know him well enough to be pretty sure that wasn't happening.
This is such a close call. She's missing such cool shit. What's your first memory of this movie? How old were you when you first watched it, do you think?
Oh God, I don't know. Young, but... This wasn't like the Indiana Jones movies and shit when I was a kid. You know, this
wasn't like religious viewing.
Yeah, this was in the video cabinet, but I didn't like seek it out or nothing.
Right.
I don't remember watching it. I know clearly I saw it before 93 because it made me cry at the E.T. ride.
Right.
But I don't know when in those first 6-7 years of my life that was.
I can't remember the first time I came to Orlando, but yeah, I definitely watched it. I watched it at a very young age. Old enough. It's one of the few memories I remember of my very first house in England. And I moved after like 7 years, so I want to guess I was maybe 4 or 5. I've got three memories from my house, my very first house. One is I remember somehow plugging up a sink and leaving a tap running and starting a little bit of a flood. Second one is I remember being in the living room, and I remember shitting myself, and it was like a little tail sticking out my ass, like stretching the underwear and shit.
Okay.
And the third is watching E.T., and I remember... bawling my eyes out, or not? No, because I'm a stoic person. I don't like to be seen crying. So when I started to cry when E.T. leaves, I just ghosted out of the room. Which, when you're a kid, is a fucking weird thing to do. The parents are fucking freaking out. Like, where are you going? You know?
Oh yeah.
At the end when E.T. saying goodbye to Elliot and all the tears are shedding and everything. Oh my God. He's so cute and so ugly at the same time.
Yeah, bro. You said you had a little tail.
Yeah. That's...
Reminds me, when I was in the Navy, one of my buddies, I don't remember his first name, but his last name was Jero. He is a SEAL. So if you're listening and you know a SEAL named Jero, this is what he did. When we were in boot camp, they would they'd tell 130 dudes with 8 shower heads, you have 8 minutes to get everybody showered, dressed, and inspection ready.
Okay.
So dudes would all run in there and shower in literally seconds. Right. And Jero had this fucking horse dick, had a Willem Dafoe size penis.
Okay.
So Jero would run into the showers, he would tuck his dick between his legs, and then both of his arms would go out and he'd go, "Would you fuck me? I'd fuck me," and he'd do the dance, and after you couldn't laugh at that anymore, he would then, without bringing his dick out, he would then turn around, shake his ass, his dick would waggle around, and he would go, "Hey, look guys, I have a tail." Every single time we had to shower, he would do the Silence of the Lambs dance and then show his dick poking out from between his butt cheeks like a tail.
The balls as well?
Just the dick.
Oh, that's talent.
You couldn't see his balls all the way back, but his dick was fucking huge. That's funny. I'm talking after ass cheek, I'm talking 2.5 to 3 inches of waggle. Yeah.
Good
tail. That's if it wasn't curved all the way around. That's a big old dick.
Fair play.
Yeah.
Well done. What was his name again?
Jero, I'm telling your secrets, bruh.
Well done, sir. Congratulations on the massive penis.
Oh, he knows. When you look into the abyss looks back at you.
So anyway, watch this film from a very young age.
Yes.
And then, yeah, speaking of the ride, I think that was probably probably my next interaction with this. So, yeah, there is a... Is it still at any other Universals, do you know?
I have no idea.
I know it's probably not going anywhere from Orlando because it's one of Spielberg's kind of last things over in that park.
It's amazing. And we don't have Jaws anymore, so...
It's kind of his last... Yeah, it's the last little grip he has in the Universal Studios park. Because we both live in Orlando, so Universal Studios is right down the street from us. And at Universal Studios, they have a ride. the E.T. Adventure. And Carl, you touched on it briefly. It's you sit in on these bicycle-style seats, which are really uncomfortable, actually, come to think of it. And... It's set after the movie. For some reason, E.T. returns back home, and he needs to go... E.T. returns to Earth, I'm sorry, and then he needs to get back home. He's going to take you with him for some reason. So the first half of the ride is recreating the last part of this movie, where the kids are on the bikes, escaping through the forest, and then E.T. uses his magic to make them fly over the city in front of the moon and everything like that. And it's kind of cool. The second part of the ride, and I'm not going to need Carl to... I'm going to want his input on this in a second. But it is batshit fucking insane, because then you go back to E.T.'s planet, the green planet. And this is all based off of an actual sequel book that was... I'm not sure if it was ever released. It was certainly planned. E.T. Return to the Green Planet was a sequel... it was a novel. I think it was a book that actually got published. It was based off of an idea or a spec script for an actual sequel that Steven Spielberg wrote with somebody else. And it's all about, going back to E.T.'s home planet to save his planet because it's dying. And E.T.'s planet is full of these different plants and all kinds of shit. So kind of like how he brings the plants back to life in this movie. I guess he's the only one that can do that back on his planet. So you've got to get him back there to save the world, basically. So halfway through the ride, you go through this weird green portal, black hole, wormhole kind of thing. And then you pop out on the other side. And the best way to fucking describe it is if you... if you entered like the Wizard of Oz with like the Munchkin Town, but you're doing an incredible amount of acid and everybody looks like a space turtle's penis. Is that the best way to describe the second half of that ride?
Oh, yeah, when you go to the place that is from the extended book universe and not from the movie? Yeah, absolutely.
It's a fucking weird trip, and it feels like... I mean, if you're on the train, it's a great ride. If you're not on the train, you're going to be in for a bad time. I have a very love-hate relationship with the ride for that reason. It is really cool for the first half because it really kind of... It's a lot of fun to make you feel like you're flying through the forest and shit. And yeah, some of it's dated and everything, but flying over the cityscape you fly over, and it's a cool little effect. It's a fun adventure. But when you get into the E.T. home planet, things take a sharp turn down the weird road.
There's a lot of E.T. species, and they all look a little bit different, but for a kid, that's really confusing.
Yeah, it's kind of like in Gremlins 2. There's a lot of different looks of Gremlins, and some of them look a little too fucking goofy, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
To take seriously in the story. But yeah, I guess E.T.'s the only one that can actually fucking... who has his power to save the planet. Because there's like 40 fucking E.T. aliens on that planet, and they're all just sitting around like,
but
help us, E.T.
But I bet you some of them are like strippers and like bartenders. He's a botanist.
Okay.
Like, me and you, we're not going to change the world, but scientists, they're going to change the world.
Okay.
You know?
So that's why they need him back so badly, you think?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. I mean, I could buy that. You know, let's imagine it's a small planet.
Maybe in his mind, it's like...
It's a very specialized...
Yeah, maybe it's like making bullets in Walking Dead. It's a very crucial piece of information that more than one person needs to know.
But only a handful of people can really do it in the world, let's say.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then you fly around the planet, like, as you pass all these planets. E.T.'s been sitting in your basket the whole time, by the way. I didn't fucking mention that. The front row is the best row for that ride because you got a little E.T. in the basket who keeps popping his head up and looking around, pointing at shit. And as you fly past all these dying flowers and stuff, they spring back to life and E.T.'s, you know, doing his thing, and all the other aliens are like, thank you, E.T. And it's real fucking goofy, I'm not going to lie. But I've heard it compared a lot to acid, and that's why I wanted to ask you. Like, in your opinion, is it like an acid trip? Because it feels like an acid trip whenever I go on it. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing right now?
I mean, my acid trips, it's more colorful, but they're more soothing colors, not this weirdness.
An unnerving ride, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You're never quite comfortable on it, I feel.
For me, one of my favorite rides to go on when I was doing acid, I say was, like it's not something that I would willingly do again in the future,
right.
But...
Like, are you offering? No, I'm not.
The Kodak ride at Epcot, the one that was there for years, the one that basically Figment and the Dream Dude or whatever...
Oh, okay.
It's like the last thing that they even have like a cameo in now because they're no longer like park characters. Mm. At one point when you're in that, you go through a couple upside down rooms where all the furniture's like hanging from the ceiling and shit.
Okay.
And that's trippy as fuck. And also the living seas in general. I will do acid and go to Epcot and sit there and watch Turtle Talk with Crush fucking 5 times in a row. Turtle Talk with Crush, if you're not familiar, is a big CG Crush from Finding Nemo that is projected. They have at Disney, they have these great aquariums. They also have these clear screens that you can't see in the aquarium, but that is what they project on. So if they project CG Crush and Nemo so that it's showing up in the just floating in the water inside of the aquarium around real fish, it's awesome. And they have a voice actor backstage that does Crush's voice. And so Crush can talk to kids, like can call you out by name.
He can interact with you and have an actual conversation. And for
Bro.
A kid, that's fucking mind-blowing. Or a kid or a 30-year-old on acid, I guess.
Yeah.
Same thing. But
dog can never have too many bandanas.
Right. This is where we see Yoda, right?
Yes.
Okay. There's some weird fucking costumes here. I feel like I'm watching The Purge or something.
Bro, have you... Oh, there he is. Hey, Yoda.
Now, where is the irresponsible individual that's letting that kid go trick-or-treating by themselves? Or is this just a really safe time?
I mean, there's two little kids in the back corner.
Oh, I realize now, all the kids. I mean, but no, like, sibling or anything?
There's a couple parents and siblings, but I saw a lot of little kids that were just chilling.
Doing their own thing.
Yeah.
I guess that's just because, like, things were safer back then. You could just let your kids run around town doing their own shit.
Well, I would never, if I had kids, I would not let kids run around my neighborhood by themselves, my apartment complex. But that is because I know, like, two people in my complex. When I was a kid growing up in South Carolina, we knew everybody in the neighborhood.
Right.
You know, so that was a little safer.
We knew everybody on our street when I lived back in the UK as a kid, but we never, trick-or-treating was never, is probably isn't still never a thing in the UK.
Have you, when you get a chance, look up Halloween costumes of the past. And by of the past, I mean like in the 40s and 50s, because most of the kids look like they're wearing KKK outfits.
Oh, right.
They were super homemade, you know? And you didn't have like templates or examples to know what a good costume's supposed to look like.
Ooh.
Oh. Yay.
That's what you scream when you're on the ET ride.
That's what I did.
Too high, too high.
Yeah, like now I still like the ride, but I don't know.
It's an interesting ride over there. And yeah. I probably won't go anywhere because it's one of Spielberg's last things he has over at that park. So, and then, you mentioned, let's just milk this for the next 40 years. You already mentioned that the ET fucking talks to you and says your name.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Have you ever tried to fuck with that?
Yeah, but when you get super vulgar, they don't say that. What's the stock phrase?
When he can't say something as like a backup? That makes sense.
Yeah, because they have a stock phrase, like when you try and give them...
Something generic. Well, when I remember I went to my birthday one time and had a bunch of friends with me, and you get to the line, they're like, what's your name? I'm like, Dave. And I had no idea this was going on until later. But the person behind me comes up like, what's your name? And they're like, Matthews. And then the person behind them is like, what's your name? Band.
Yes.
Like, okay, let's see how this goes.
Yeah.
I think it worked out, actually. Because because E.T. says goodbye to everybody who's kind of in your group. So he says, goodbye.
Now, would E.T. in that ride say Jesus or Jesus? Or would it be dependent on your... It's not dependent on your pronunciation, because they just type that shit in.
Yeah.
So would E.T. say Jesus or Jesus?
I imagine maybe... I've not been trained to that ride, but I imagine if you have a name like that, there's probably a way you have to kind of spell it really weird. Like, spell it how it sounds.
With a little line and shit? Like, actually, like, phonetically.
Yeah.
Okay.
To kind of force him to spell it out that way. I don't know. It's
so
really...
So if you wanted, like, four of your buddies to do Jesus Christ Superstar...
Yeah.
You'd have to spell it, like, J-E-E-Z-U-Z.
Well, I imagine Jesus would probably... I mean, but if you want to say, like, Jesus, I'm thinking you'd have to spell it, like, H-A-Y...
But you would think there's so many people from Spanish countries that come here, they should totally have the N with a little squiggly line over it and shit.
I don't fucking know.
You would hope.
I don't know, man. I don't know what takes precedence.
I'd be interested to ask around and see which of our friends have actually... Because we have a lot of like character friends, and you know, some of them started as ride operators.
Absolutely.
I'd like to see if anybody worked at ET and picked their brains. Because
I know
nothing.
A few people, yeah, we can see how that system works. Because yeah, there must be so much fun. There must be a whole kind of like subculture of just gaming that name system at ET.
Yeah, if we can get the info that matters, I'd love to do that the next time we go.
We need the codex.
Yeah,
for how all the names kind of work out and everything.
We need the secret song for Rip Ride Rocket,
yeah.
But for ET,
we need the secret names list.
Yeah. None of them are carrying a fucking tent.
So maybe I'm they're not carrying walkie-talkies either.
They may be in the briefcase, because we know in that briefcase there's not guns.
Right. But yeah, I'm just realizing in that shot, we still haven't seen their faces, have we? Which lends an air to...
Yeah, the last 30 minutes is when we finally get...
Faces to go with the silhouettes.
We don't see adult faces till the last half an hour, which is so cool, man. I can't get over that.
It's a neat little way of doing it, yeah.
Yeah.
And it definitely, because this is a film, a lot of Spielberg's films, they are more for kids. you know, they're aimed at. I mean, they're layered so that adults can certainly, you know, really enjoy them, but it's kind of, it's his way, I guess, of like recapturing the innocence of his childhood. I guess mm-hmm. in so many of his films.
Yeah, I've heard that people thought for years that he tried to put like Christian allegories in this, and his response was, "Okay, I'm Jewish. I didn't do that. And if I did put a Christian allegory in E.T., my mother never would have talked to me again."
Yeah. And this was, I'm just realizing, this is like the, is that Peter Pie Man?
Who the fuck is Peter Pie Man? Is that a British thing?
No, I think it was Strawberry Shortcake.
Oh, yeah, that was not, I had no, I knew Strawberry Shortcake existed. I knew what right. she looked like. I yeah. knew nothing else.
He's like the villain of the piece, I think.
What cartoons, okay, you know, every kid has like, granted, when we were growing up, Saturday morning cartoons were still a thing. Waking up and staying in your PJs for 5 hours and like waking up early just to
as
like.
As a kid? Dude, yeah, look yeah, at me right now.
Yeah, right?
But, I'm just, full disclosure, I'm sitting here in my PJs right the fuck now because I've had a lazy day today and I'm not getting dressed for you.
Yeah, you don't, you never have.
You're
to,
lucky I'm fine. Wearing anything at all.
Yeah.
Honestly.
But
I am wearing a condom, though, so.
Okay, always safe. I have a balloon in my bag. Always practice yeah. safe clowning.
I'm wearing my PJs and a condom. That's it.
I can't find it anymore. You're better at Googling than I am. I haven't seen these in years, but I'm looking for them. They are, you know, the long balloons that, like, balloon twisters and magicians and clowns
sure.
use?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, it's a clear one of those, but it, and I've got like hundreds of clear ones like in my balloon bag. They're useful, but they come individually wrapped in a condom wrapper. Back in the 80s, they were called clowndoms. And so you would reach into your wallet and you would pull out a condom and then you would rip it out, like in front of people, and then they just don't know what the fuck is going on.
Am I about to get raped courteously?
Yeah. Like. And then you make them a balloon and it's really funny.
That's but a nice gag.
I'm looking for clowndoms, and if I can't find them, I'm just going to have to start sealing shit inside of condoms again.
Get on Etsy or something. I'm sure somebody makes it. Or start a Kickstarter, because that is a hilarious visual gag.
Bro.
For a very niche market. But I mean, you know, there's a huge number of people that would do balloon animals in front of an adult audience that would get a kick out of
it. You don't even
shit.
Have to be good at balloons. You just have to be able to make a shitty dog or a sword for that joke
yeah,
to work.
All you need is a worm would work, honestly. Just.
There's a buddy of mine here in town. He's a magician. He's famous amongst like magicians, but regular people don't know who he is.
Okay.
And he does this funny thing with a silicone, super realistic shrimp. So he sells the shrimp. Okay, and people can get shrimped. He sells these shrimp for like $20. They're super realistic from like, until you start squeezing it, you'd have no idea that it's not just a real cooked shrimp. Uh-huh. And you carry this silicone shrimp around in your pocket. And so like, if you're at the grocery store and you put all your shit onto the like conveyor belt, you just toss that rubber shrimp on there between a few items. So when the person's scanning all your items, they see a single shrimp and they look at it and they look at you and you're like, yeah, just a single shrimp, please. And it's pretty funny. But when you're at restaurants, you take the shrimp and anytime they deliver your food, mm-hmm. you just drop the shrimp on top of your plate as soon as the person turns around and then you call them back. They didn't even walk 5 feet and you're like, right. Hey, I this is what I ordered, but I didn't order this single shrimp. What the fuck is up with this?
This single shrimp in my fries.
Or yeah, something. Yeah. And they're like, we don't even serve shrimp here. Like, what? Stupid bullshit like that in the clowndom, man. Even if you're not a performer, everybody needs to like have one thing like that in your pocket that could potentially make a stranger's day better. You know, like.
Yeah, it's just got to work. Like, it's kind of.
You would not use it 90% of the time.
Yeah.
But those few times when the moment is right.
It's kind of like if your Tinder picture is literally just like a picture of your vagina. You know. Yeah, it only needs to work a couple of times.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
To pay off. That's all you need.
That's it.
Set your Tinder picture as your balloon knot, you know.
Bro,
your Grindr picture is just your anus, and that because yeah, you're gonna offend a bunch of people. You'll get a lot of no's, but just even if just one time out of 100, it works.
honestly, you don't even need that much.
That's a win, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This was actually shown to me, and it was told to me, and I didn't believe it while we were at a club, because I was never really the type of person to just go pick up broads at a bar, because that feels kind of trashy. I'd rather meet you doing something that I already like to do, because then built-in conversation, you know?
Sure.
Like watching movies.
Yeah, but we went to this bar, and Tyler, the other clown that I work with, he was explaining that he was not married at this point. I used to call Tyler the bitch whisperer, because he would walk into a club and just girls would just throw themselves. He was that hipster that all the hipster girls just wanted to have sex with. Mm-hmm. And he used to tell me, he told me at this bar, he's like, bro, you go around, you ask 10 people, hey, do you want to go home and have sex tonight? 3 of them will say yes. And it's true, at least in this town.
Yeah, sure.
You don't even have
that.
To make an effort. It's the people that say yes are not the people you actually want to take home. But
just the fact that it works.
Yeah, if you have no standards, the option is there to never be alone.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, I have standards. Where did you pick your wife up? I picked my wife up. My girl.
Well,
you really?
Oh my God, he's so gray and dead.
Yeah, yeah. In this whole scene reminds me of that one episode of with the ghost kid.
How does a fucking raccoon or fucking...
Oh yeah, it's just chilling.
Miko's there to save the day.
Where's Flit? But with his little hoodie on, he looks like the ghost kid from that episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Uh-huh.
When the kid took the bicycle into the water thing and drowned, and at the end the rusted bicycle came out.
Right.
Little kid looked like that.
Absolutely.
The whole time. I just watched an episode of that recently. Did not age well.
No.
Not
it's
at all.
It's on Amazon Prime, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a couple episodes I remember, but the one, unless you have a really vivid memory of it as a kid, enough to overlook the flaws, the episodes you don't remember so well and you're rediscovering again, they do not age well. You're like, what the fuck is this shit?
Yeah,
it's been on for 5 seasons.
I watched an episode of Fraggle Rock the other day and Eureka's Castle, and both of those were mistakes because it ruined how I remembered them.
Just stop after the theme tune. Just stop with Fraggle Rock after that. That's
bro, I got halfway through the theme tune for Eureka's Castle and I was already ruined, and then the whole episode just ruined it more for me. Did you see the clip of the new DuckTales?
Yes, with David Tennant. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the animation's kind of different, but like a lot of shows right now that look drastically different, it takes some time to get used to.
Absolutely.
Some of it you can't, like we talked about the other day, Family Guy Season 1 or 2. Mm-hmm. If you're a fan now, Season 1 hurts to watch.
Yeah.
I
remember, I don't actually remember what Scrooge McDuck's voice sounds like, so I'm totally on board with David Tennant being a new Scrooge McDuck. I don't know how he compares or anything. McDonald sounds the same, so that's cool.
Yeah, I was always a big fan of the DuckTales movie.
Treasures of the Lost Lamp?
Yeah, where they all go in like they all like float in the basket and then turn the basket that held all the gold, and then the weird dude
does a genie or something.
Yeah, and turns Scrooge's tower into this crazy sky castle. Yeah, I was always a fan of that. So his voice stuck out. So it was weird hearing David Tennant, but I'm a big David Tennant fan, so I can stand with that.
Yeah.
The things that I don't like about the new DuckTales, I'm willing to forgive just because you got David Tennant. And he's actually Scottish.
Yeah,
is he?
Yeah, yeah, he is.
So we got a real Scottish dude doing Scrooge McDuck's voice.
Totally
finally,
works. It's totally. It was going to be him or Gerard Butler. So,
yeah, yeah, and that probably would have been just as cool.
That would have been hilarious.
He would have rocked that shit.
Yeah. So apparently, this is how the FBI. handle a family that's got an alien, like, rather than explaining themselves, I guess. Like, I don't know, you kind of expect them to, you'd expect the knock on the door, you know, and the guys in the suits, but instead their plan is to dress like astronauts and walk very slowly towards the family and freak them the fuck out from all different angles of the house, the front door, the kitchen windows and shit.
Uh-huh.
Just say why you're there, like, you know. Surely it's easier to get somebody to comply with you if you don't fucking start off by walking towards them like a fucking future Michael Myers or something.
Yeah, and why the fuck are they wearing astronaut why didn't they just call the CDC, throw on regular hazmat suits, and call it a
maybe
day?
Maybe they are trying to look, like, maybe they think the aliens have seen the astronauts and they're trying to look familiar to them or something.
Oh yeah, because the aliens totally give a shit.
I don't fucking know. Here's your tent, though, so now, oh shit, I gotta get my tequila.
Yeah, I'll pour my Sambuca
fill the time.
All right. Yeah, okay, so there's a lot. Okay, I'm seeing hazmat suits, and then a lot of people not wearing hazmat suits. I'm also seeing a lot of hazmat people that it just doesn't look like they have the... Okay, I see this dude getting dressed, like, in a trap, but you don't see any of the standard disinfecting bullshit, you know? So it doesn't really seem safe. That dude just looks like he's in a truck, like in a van, and he just crawled out of a van into a plastic tunnel. And I'm pretty sure that's what that was. Yeah, it feels weird. They're taking precautions, but not...
You had silver tequila, right?
Yeah. Of course, I would never even, like, if somebody offered me a bottle of that gold shit, I wouldn't take it. Nope. That is a dope bottle, though, but not too big on the tequila.
If you're going to do gold tequila, it's going to be 1800. But
yeah.
The there. I'll whip that out 1 week when I'm feeling particularly self-loathing.
See, okay, people in hazmat suits and then dudes just wearing a little face mask, they're not...
That guy, he kind of looks like he's getting a haircut from a dentist.
yeah, but look at the precautions they're not taking. They everybody on the outside's either cops that are walking around looking important or dudes in hazmat. Okay, there's the fog. Mm-hmm. So that's nice. So they're disinfecting them. I belay my last. But the dude inside that was talking to him wearing just a little face mask like I'm in Beijing and there's a little more smog today. And then the dude right behind him in the hazmat suit. How's that dude that's just wearing the face mask with his eyes exposed? How's he get disinfected?
And you can totally, yeah, there's totally space.
There's no ceiling there.
He's wearing a garbage bag.
Yeah, I mean,
with a visor.
In Xenon Girl of the 21st Century, the astronaut suits up on the wall, I'm pretty sure were paper. They were pretty bad, too. But yeah, it just feels weird. It's like we want it to look serious, but fuck it. It's like in The Walking Dead, apparently in the most recent episode, Michonne and somebody else were taking shots at zombies, much like the people on top of the mall were in the Dawn of Dead remake.
Yes.
And the herd of zombies was not coming at them. And for the last, what season are y'all in now? Six? Seven? Yeah, for the last seven seasons, noise... has immediately, and a noise and a horde means at least three
a
characters
bad
dying.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah. And now they're just taking pot shots and the zombies don't give a shit. Mm-hmm. Don't, if you have made it a point to fucking try and do shit right, you know, or have like continuity, don't make like an obvious continuity mistake.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm even willing to deal with Bruce Willis's changing wife beater in Die Hard. I don't even care because he's Bruce Willis. Come on, Walking Dead, you know they have a committee of people that's just in charge of that.
Absolutely.
Right? Of yeah. Just in charge of continuity and where people were standing and where their wounds were. Mm-hmm. Although Greg Nicotero probably takes care of all the where the wounds and makeup was.
No, he does a lot of stuff now.
Right? Right?
Like, it's a lot to keep track of.
At what point does he just start using his name to get the bookings and then his lackeys are the one, and good lackeys, he has very talented people, but they're not him.
They're not the name.
Yeah, since when does, like, how far in does he just use his name to get it and then sends his team, and it'll be good, but you could probably go through this, a whole movie or a whole show without actually running into him past the initial meeting of, yeah, we'll hire your company.
Yeah.
You know, like, when does he take on the role of CEO and stop being so hands-on? Or does he just really fucking dig hands-on and just goes to the... If he's doing so many jobs now, does he just try and do the hands-on one that sounds the most fun? Because I would. Sounds
I mean,
awesome.
He's definitely moving more towards a director role, I can feel.
Darren Brown's show in New York City starts next month. And
shit.
He has been...
Oh, shit, does it?
Yeah, and my buddy Derek Delgadio, who Frank Oz directed a show, Neil Patrick Harris directed his last show, Frank Oz directed a show in Mark Mothersbaugh, did Rugrats theme and Devo and all that shit.
Yeah.
He wrote the music for Derek's show. And Derek's show and fucking Darren Brown's show are literally across the street from each other. And Darren Brown has been very vocal about... he's been asked, are you going to America to... You didn't last time they put you on Sci-Fi, and that was a mistake that wasn't your fault. Are you going to America to conquer? And Darren Brown goes, honestly, I live in London. I just thought living in New York City for 3 months would be really fun.
So he'll be in New York for a while then.
They're doing like a multiple month booking, and he literally is doing a Broadway show entirely because as a performer, living in New York City is something that should be on your bucket list.
You know, I have a friend coming over for his birthday in May who's going to New York for a few days, and he was asking me to go up there. That would be an interesting twofer.
We should definitely find out. I mean, yo, if that's the case, depending on when it is in May, because I'm working during May, but I'm working,
road
so I got
trip.
Money. Yeah, let's road trip that shit.
All right, let's knock the shot back as well.
Oh, fuck.
oh fuck for you. Sambuca? You've got Sambuca. I've got okay. Tequila. So.
Cheers. Cheers, everyone.
Oh shit! Oh, that does not tickle.
Sambuca warm has a hot feeling.
Yeah, definitely.
Sambuca and Jaeger cold have a very soothing licorice taste, like you just ate cold jelly beans. But hot tastes like you snuck in like half a shot of tequila just to fuck with me, and I know you didn't.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But it does sound like something I would do, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really thinking about this personalized light switch, though.
Right. We've already got the photos. Like, there is minimal effort. Literally, I just need to slap it on Cafe Press and we can do it.
I think it'd be really funny to, if we could take a couple more and just if I could bring a couple props over and we could do what we did last time, only last time we just did Christmas. Mm. If we could do one preemptively for the next like 6 or 7 holidays.
You want to do your calendar, we're just doing it all out in one day.
Yeah, so then we're just set and can share like later.
Yeah.
But if we had that many, I wouldn't do it here because obviously we're workshopping the idea, but it'd be so funny to go to somebody's house and just take mental stock of what size, if they're doubles, singles, like how many they have.
Well, I was going to say, actually, you don't even need fucking light. You could just make stickers, just decals.
Yeah, the only reason I wouldn't want to do the sticker is because I don't want it to stick for good and leave residue, because that's kind of an asshole move. But if I could just make some...
Whereas fucking slapping a naked picture of yourself over the light switch, they have to flick your dick every time they want
to
see anything.
The fact that you managed to do it while you were at somebody else's house and unscrew and screw the new one, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Bro, imagine if we went over to our homies that we normally do the Christmas parties with. We go to the same Christmas party every year. Mm. We went there. They're always in the living room the whole time.
It's true. They would not see anything in the kitchen for a good 20 minutes.
Yeah, it would be very easy to just do that and probably escape the night unscathed, and they wouldn't
notice. And it's only when
they're
closing up shop for the night that they would realize.
Yeah. How impressive would that be if somebody...
That would be one of the most incredible magic tricks you've ever pulled.
And I'll even take the leftover ones, wrap them in a bow, and like sit them somewhere like visible but out of the way. But how... if you didn't know about this, and I came over here, and then to do Big Gay Date, and like... tomorrow early morning when your wife finally comes home, she's like,
discover
baby?
Naked pictures of yourself all around my house where I have to...
Why the fuck is there a naked clown on my wall in every room? In some places, twice a room?
Yeah. And how did you let this happen? That's what I get. Like it'd be my fault.
And, oh my God, replace the sockets as well. Be harder to come up with a good picture for that.
With you bent over.
And then the sockets here. Or you're laying back like you're giving birth to the socket. Bro, no, we got ideas,
man. You should actually be bent over so they have to just stick it in your ass to power their iPod or something.
Yo. Bro.
That's a bigger patch, so you could wear your pants for that one. But Just bend over, look behind you, like, you know, finger to the mouth, like...
Yeah.
Oops. We have a project now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, the last time I had to get naked, it was weird. I'm planning on doing a streaking video, so I just bought a handful of tracking dots so I can have one on the front, one on each side, and one on the back. Basically, because I'm wearing flesh-colored shorts and my white face when I'm streaking through downtown, and as I pass people, the video is I get up and go streaking through downtown Orlando, and as I pass people hanging out, they see me, they look at each other, and then they start running after, dropping their clothes too.
Oh, okay.
And
gotcha.
Everybody, like, I bought this tracking dot, but realistically, we're gonna have to do it for everybody. The idea is that way we can all wear like fucking flesh-colored, like, swim trunks and, like, bikinis and shit, and not be naked, and use those tracking dots to so you don't have to go frame by frame and add, like, blur on the video.
Gotcha.
The blur just stays on those tracking dots.
Smart. Okay.
Could we fake it, or do I actually have to get naked this time? Because nudity is funny. Nudity is key and best.
Nudity is also,
But it's awkward and cold.
Yeah, and... Yeah, how far can you get before somebody
so
tackles
just
you or something?
In the back of your mind, just be thinking of creative ways that we
could... If you're going to censor it, flesh color works absolutely fine.
Okay.
If nothing else, fucking draw some pubes on the front or something so that you at least get the color when you blur it.
Yeah, because last time you had to like actually Photoshop my ball sack out of a picture.
Just a touch.
And I would honestly like you to not have to deal with that again.
I am on board with that as well.
Okay, cool. And as long as it looks good.
It's only because I was examining it in excruciating detail that I saw a tiny touch of ball sack.
Had to, man, because even if you're doing shit for a laugh, you better do it well.
Cover yourself.
Right? Yeah. Cover
your ass, or in this case, cover your ball sack.
It was so weird. I got naked, but I was wearing a towel, and Dave was I'm in front of the backdrop, and he's a photographer, so he's got like the equipment and shit, and we're using like real flash and fucking, he's got to turn around, I have to toss my towel to my girl
because I'm a gentleman.
Yeah, he turns around. Well, he doesn't have to, because I mean, he's got a penis too, but it was nice, it didn't make me feel as awkward. And I had to toss my towel to my girl, and my girl would toss me like prop number one. He would turn around, and if my dick was still exposed, he would like coach, you know, because everybody needs a mental fluffer. So then we'd like get the picture, and then rather than put the towel on and switch props, I would just grab the prop and slide over. He would like turn around while I was doing. It was just really fucking awkward, because then at the end, when you're done at the final picture, you're like, "Hey, baby, can you hand me a towel?" And she thinks it's funny, so she like is delaying on it, and now like you're naked in front of some dude that you know but didn't really plan on like whipping your dick out in front of, with nothing but a Christmas ball covering your cock and ball, a big Christmas ball. Let me be fucking specific. It was a large Christmas ball. It was not a small, it was a couple Christmas balls that I had hot glued together to look like a jumbo penis, but most of the Christmas balls were like 5 inches in diameter, not radius, diameter. So I mean, it wasn't like yeah.
Would it have been more awkward if I just stood there and stared at you?
That, okay, I've got a picture.
I did the best I could.
When I first started doing the dick lift, when I lift a bowling ball with my dick, right, on stage, I'd striptease, I end up doing pierced weightlifting, which is a sideshow stunt that is hundreds, if not thousands of years old.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the history on piercing is, but I'm pretty sure once people were doing that, weird Indian yogis and fakirs were doing weird shit with it. But I had just started doing it, and I needed a promo picture. So I went to the Magic Estate, which is a mansion here in Orlando that a bunch of really, really good magicians stay in. I think we've talked about it before.
We have, yeah.
I go to the estate because they shoot a bunch of video. They have like a whole DVD like operation out of there, and like photography and shit and motivational speaking. So I go over there and ask the guys, and I got one of the guys a $26,000 gig. So they are really nice to me. And offer to do the photo shoot for free. You know, they're like, just bring your makeup, bring your prop, it's fine. So we did a picture where I'm naked, but facing away from the camera with the bowling ball just hanging down. You know, see, it, and it's in black and white. You see the bowling ball hanging. And then while we were there, I also took a fedora, like my business partner wears, because his birthday was coming up, and I put the fedora. I actually, with a flaccid penis, you can't really hold up a hat. If the hat's kind of heavy, it's almost impossible to hold up a hat with an erection as well. So I had to take like duct tape and like duct tape it to that little area above my penis but below like my belly button on like the brim, so it looked like your penis is like holding the hat up. Mm-hmm. And I sent it with the caption, happy birthday, I got you a hat, which was pretty funny. But when I got there, I thought it was just going to be me and one of the guys, the Naked Mentalist.
I remember him from your show at Halloween Horror Nights. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so the Naked Mentalist, I guess because he was getting naked at that point on the regular and didn't give a shit, he, not only was it not him, it was all the other dudes that lived there, plus a couple of their friends, and all of their girlfriends.
Oh.
And nobody would turn around. They just kept talking to me through the... Like, people talk to you during a photo shoot to keep you, like, at ease.
Yeah, sure. And but, it does the complete opposite thing when you're trying to get naked and
shit. Because all the magicians... Only one magician's on the camera. The other magician just start doing magic for each other, because that's what you do. You talk about work.
Yeah.
So then it turned into all their girlfriends just talking to me and making eye contact. And it was so... Bro, I'm talking... My testicles went from golf balls to BBs in, like... two sentences. It was embarrassing.
What a beautiful visual that
is. So here was actually the best naked photo shoot I've done yet, including the video I did at Tyler's house.
Fantastic. Thank you. That's a glowing recommendation. Can I please get that?
Yeah, absolutely. You made me feel at ease.
Best naked photo shoot I've ever done.
Bro, best naked photo shoot I've ever done. You made me feel at ease when I was in a very vulnerable spot.
When I was sticking my dick into a Christmas ornament.
Yeah. Realistically, I could just support a birthday cake in front of my, like a tiny birthday cake in front of my dick, like my dick is impaling the birthday cake and just holding it up, and then I can just
save it. You say impaling, it's fucking.
From the side.
It's
fucking it from the side, not American Pie, but if the pie wasn't in a pie tin.
Sure.
And had like a hole in the side.
So you want to keep the birthday cake like...
Preferably with
horizontal.
Candles.
Yeah.
Yeah, horizontal.
With the candle pointing up.
Yeah. And then we've got a picture for all year,
everybody's birthday.
Bro. Very easy to get for me to go in on Photoshop and just change the color scheme of the cake.
Yes.
Okay, so now we're done talking about penis. Let's get back to the movie.
Actually, you know what I want to talk about before we get too far? Because there's not much more of the movie left. This mm-hmm. has gone pretty fast, actually.
Yeah, it's only an hour and 44?
If that. I mean, we're an hour... Just over an hour 30, really.
Okay.
I want to talk about the E.T. game for the Atari 2600. Do you know about this?
I know about it, never played it, only discovered that that was a thing during my research.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Okay, you never heard about it before. I've heard about this E.T. game for years and years. It is legendary if you're a video game fan.
Mm-hmm.
So the Atari 2600, very old video game console around the 80s. Kind of, I think, maybe the first home video game console.
I had one when I was like knee-high to a grasshopper. I remember that. It was before anything was good.
It was before Super Nintendo, Genesis, any of the good stuff that we remember. It's when... And it's just kind of like we saw that heart rate monitor on E.T.'s thing. The graphics look like that, basically. E.T. has never looked uglier, and that's saying something based off of like what we're seeing on the screen here. There is an E.T. game for the Atari 2600 that is absolutely legendary for being possibly the very worst video game of all time. It damn near killed the video game industry in the early 80s. It sent it to a grinding halt.
I'm glad it didn't, because now we treat them like movies.
Yeah, like it took a long time to rebound from this, and a lot. And I'm gonna side note: there's a game for the Atari 2600 where General Custer rapes Indians who are tied to cactuses. And even that couldn't kill the Atari 2600. So when I say the E.T. killed the industry, or damn near killed the industry...
Now, this was a time where most every game that was out was either reminiscent of Galaga or Pong or Centipede.
Super fucking simple.
So, like, the fact that you're throwing Custer, raping people actually had to, like, work to make that happen.
That was a conscious effort by somebody to make a video game based off of the General Custer's battle or whatever. I don't know American history, but apparently that's not something he did. He didn't fucking...
We don't really call it a battle.
It was a massacre,
got
right?
Yeah, he got his ass handed to him.
Yeah. In the game, like, all his plan is to fucking march from one from the left side of the screen to the right side of the screen to get to this Indian that's on a cactus and have sex with her. And meanwhile, there's arrows flying at you. Different game entirely. Back to E.T.
Okay.
E.T., the point of the game, it was coded in 5 weeks.
It took so a long... it was bad, is what you're saying.
It's a terrible fucking game.
Now, it was so terrible that what happened?
So... the game was received so poorly. It's possibly the first video game with more copies returned than manufactured.
That's why there were so many to.
There is about 5 million copies in existence.
See,
and
I didn't even factor
much...
in returns. I always thought that they just realized it was so terrible, which is why they had so many.
It's a movie game, so it's sold on the name. And people played it and realized it was fucking shit, but you still had the option of kind of returning stuff back then. You know?
Now we don't believe that. Now
so
we
now,
know
so yeah,
fact.
So many copies returned. It was a fucking dread. It was a fucking mess. There was a legend for a long fucking time that Atari actually took millions of copies out to the New Mexico desert into a landfill and just buried them. It was easier to just shift them that way than fucking give them away for free. Kids would not take them for free. Mm-hmm. You know, and you look at the kind of shit that kids would buy for a nickel, you know, dead cockroaches or something.
Yeah,
or,
yeah, yeah.
You know, kids will buy anything for a nickel. They would not buy copies of the E.T. video game. So
we even knew back then. Word gets around when a shitty game comes out. We even knew.
Everybody is like unanimous. This is the worst fucking video game ever. The whole point of the game is you're E.T. and you jump into a pit and... you have to hope that there's a piece of your phone in the bottom of the pit because you need like to collect 3 pieces of your phone in order to phone home. You get into the pit. If there's a piece of the phone, great. If there's not, which is the case about 97% of the time, then you need to start the very slow process of getting out of the pit, which requires tapping A. And then when you get to the... he kind of levitates, like we're going to see with the... he levitates the bikes here in a second. He
over
levitates
the people with either walkie-talkies or guns. This
we'll
is Schrodinger's gun.
Yeah.
It may or may not exist.
It does not exist until we see it. You levitate out the pit, and then you have a split second to kind of press the right button to get out of the pit. Otherwise, you fall back into it. So if you started playing this game in 1983, you're probably about to get out of the pit right about now. And there's so much more you could accomplish with your time.
Yeah.
And then you got to do that like 2,000 times, basically, to find these 3 pieces of the phone.
Okay.
When you get 3 pieces of the phone, you go, E.T. goes home, and then the whole process fucking starts again. It's a terrible fucking game. So they actually... The rumor was they took all the unsold copies and they put them into a landfill in New Mexico. It was a rumor for the longest fucking time. It was a legend in video game. 3 or 4 years ago, a documentary crew actually took the time and the money to go out to New Mexico and dig where the rumors were it was going to be, and they fucking found it, man. There's a documentary called Atari Game Over, and it's all about the search for the missing E.T. video game cartridges.
Now, I know shit like degrades, but plastic doesn't degrade as easy as other stuff. Were any of them playable?
That's
something I'd be interested in.
It's been a couple of years since I saw the documentary, but I know that as they were pulling them out, they recognized the box art and everything, so they knew they'd struck the
E.T. if there
gold,
was still if there were still parts of boxes, there's totally parts of that game that were playable. Yeah.
And I know they took in the documentary, which is really cool, definitely check it out. It's available for free on Xbox, I think. And they took the designer who originally Steven Spielberg wanted to make like a Pac-Man style knockoff.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't want to go that way. I'm going to hold off here because now we got the cops coming in and we're going to see.
I see guns in the distance.
It's been so long since we've seen. Oh, shit.
Yeah, buddy.
They're going to shoot these kids.
Now, if they were to shoot one of the kids as they take off.
Man, that's weird. Why are we watching? Like, I'm. It's
are the
curious.
Kids floating or are their bicycles floating?
The bicycles, clearly.
Okay, so if you shot a kid, the kid would fall off, but the bike would probably still float?
Yeah.
Would it follow E.T. with no pedals? Is he that strong? Or would it just float up in the air and then drop once he got so far away?
I don't know.
See, these philosophical questions are interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, the E.T. game, I found out about it today, and I would love to play that. Like,
no, you wouldn't.
No, I get that. But there's, I would not want to commit and have to like actually finish it.
You want to play it for a novelty factor.
Yeah, I would not be playing it for enjoyability of gameplay. I would be playing it for enjoyability of playing this taboo thing, the worst game in gaming history.
It's a part of history. It's an incredible thing. I've seen, like, but the thing is that at the end of the documentary is they get the designer back. So yeah, like I said, Spielberg had this idea of what the game would be, and they were like, no, we're not going to do that. That's not fun. Let's do this instead. Plus, they had a time crunch. They had, because negotiations took so long, they had 5 weeks to code it before they wanted it releasing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the worst thing with video games, even to this day, is the deadlines they set.
There's always impossible deadlines.
The games released so unfinished these days, and you just patch them later. Not an option back then. So the game you released was the game that was played, and that was it. So this game was coded in 5 weeks, and it is so glitchy, so uncomfortable to play.
It took my guy longer to do my EPK, my electronic press kit, which consists of nothing but Photoshop and organizing my YouTube videos. So I totally get how that's a bad idea.
Yeah. And then the guy actually sits down and plays the game, and he's like, yeah, this is not great. I wish I'd had time to do this and that. It's like a self-reflecting kind of thing. So,
but I mean, with this far in the future, I'm sure when he was young, there was also, when he was working on the game, there was this factor that makes you jazz that you are doing, like, the name.
Oh, yeah, he's super fucking psyched to be working, because apparently Steven Spielberg requested him personally. He'd done some other games in the past that Spielberg, because Spielberg's a big games fan, you know. He's made some, he's had his hand in video games since then.
But there's such a distance between Atari burying those games and that dude playing them now that you know he, as an artist, had to have gotten, even if he's retired now, he had to have gotten 20 times better before he left the game.
Absolutely.
Nobody likes watching their early work. Bands don't like listening to their early
shit.
And
he wasn't even super confident on taking the thing, but he was just like, if Spielberg requested me, like, you know, how can I say no to Spielberg?
You can't say no to Spielberg.
No, you just got to suck it up and do it.
He's like Jewish royalty. You can't, you can't turn that down.
Yeah. So it's a terrible fucking game. It's synonymous with, it's a video game legend. The documentary is fantastic if you check it out. It's only an hour long, but it's, spoiler, they find the fucking game in the desert. The legend was real the whole time, and you can see in their faces the excitement when they get it.
Who owns Atari now?
I don't fucking know.
Because that company didn't just close down.
It came damn close after the ET game. I don't know who owns it now, honestly. Mm-hmm.
There's got to be some evolved, like, Atari.
Namco or something probably bought the rights to all their games. I don't know. It's all, rights are tricky. Something I've learned. Who knows who owns what these days?
Yeah, because, like, if they still owned the ET game, if they had like an Xbox
just
marketplace,
just release it as a joke on April Fool's Day. Don't charge money for it. But my God, a HD remaster of ET.
Just tell everybody this is the worst game in gaming history, nobody's complaints matter.
I would play it for the lols.
The only complaint that matters is it didn't download.
Yeah,
you know, like.
I still can't play this game.
I'd get everybody. I'd invite 10 people, you know, and then just sit around and pass the controller around.
Oh, it's a team effort completing the game. Like I say, you jump in so many pits so many times.
I wouldn't be able to commit by myself. I would need multiple people to hand the controller off to and then talk to people and not look at the screen for like 20 minutes.
You can't. Man, if you paid $60 for this game back then. Oh. There's a special kind of school for you.
Yeah.
So this is a scene where I'm going to start bawling and run out of the room like a little bitch.
Are you really?
No. Okay. But I did as a kid.
I cried when Wilson floated away in Castaway.
Oh.
Yeah, that is a true statement,
that's
man.
Your...
And I was old enough to know better than that.
I do love that it's a physical puppet here, because this kid is... It's just something to react to, you know?
Mm-hmm. And depending on how you treat that kid and his interactions with that puppet on set, it could be a legit, like, heartfelt moment that you can get out of that kid that you just happen to catch on camera.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
A lot of kid actors are really, really bad actors.
Mm-hmm, but they're gullible.
Yeah. If your puppet is dope enough, but your kid sucks, if you can just make your kid really believe in that puppet's performance, you know, and like that puppet, you can get decent performances. It's just
And that's kind of what I was saying with Drew Barrymore. Apparently they didn't. Apparently they convinced her it was a real alien for the first like couple of weeks. And that scene where E.T. is dying and she's crying, that's actually her reaction.
Aww.
Bless
and then
her.
She gets in the zone. Then she understands. But
yeah, and then she becomes an actress.
You do what you got to do, man.
Yeah.
You can't just manipulate
those kids. Like, no shame.
Bro, you can't just expect a kid to be good at any. Kids are bad at everything. That's part of. That's why you're a kid. That's why you're supposed to like go to school and be better as an adult. That's why you don't.
That's why you don't give kids jobs at age 8 because they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
I mean, I got my okay in most fields.
I wouldn't put you in charge of my taxes or anything.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But my I actually started my resume in 94. I was born in 87.
How old are you this year? 30?
30. 30 in 2 days.
So 8 years old. Okay.
Yeah, bro. I was a youngin.
Wow.
But I was also on stage. In a spotlight and far enough away from people that they didn't have to tell that I had a weird gaze on my face and
right.
snaggle teeth and were all coming out because it was that point. I couldn't act. I still can't act. I just get drunk during my show and it all feels like it's new. Yeah, take the dog. They would totally feast on that motherfucker.
Yeah. Cut him open and shit.
Yeah. They would get, seeing how slow they move, they wouldn't even be past the moon before they ate him.
I'm having a realization here, and I this is kind of my fault I haven't seen this movie for a long time, and I'll admit I did not watch a lot of it just now.
I didn't remember the beginning of it in any way, shape, or form until I didn't even know it started with them.
All I remember is E.T. phones home. That's a
and
core
his finger
part.
Glows.
That's a core part of the movie. E.T. phoning home. So clearly, he did the work, and he it was a successful call, right? He called them, and now they've turned up
using a speak and spell,
right? But the idea we're going on is that it was his effort that brought them back here.
So basically, we just watched the alien version of Home Alone. God
yeah.
damn it! This is like the 30th time we've watched fucking Home Alone.
Now it's just got space penises in it. But no, what I'm curious about is this alien race. Are you telling me they didn't realize he was missing until just now?
Did they get halfway to France and go, Kevin?
Yeah, exactly.
Probably.
Yeah.
And it's got rainbow exhaust. Fuck you, chemtrails.
So that's what I'm saying. Did E.T. actually phone home, or was somebody on the ship just like, oh, shit. Oh, my God, we forgot that one guy. We got to go back.
And it's not like they were gallivanting around Earth. I'm pretty sure once they left in the beginning, they didn't just drop back down to Earth somewhere. If they realized he was gone, they knew where they left him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
My parents once left me at a gas station when we were on a road trip with my sister. And I was only there for like 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But that's still way fucking longer than you want a 9-year-old to just be hanging out in
yeah,
a truck
yeah.
stop in the middle of Georgia. I was on 95, bro. People run drugs up 95. Like, how are you leaving a 9-year-old? Just I could have gotten picked up by any one of those shady fucking truckers. I know not all truckers are shady in the same way not all clowns are murderers, but
most
of
them
are. Yeah, absolutely.
And all it takes is most of them.
yeah.
So, I mean, did they... Or is E.T., I don't know, E.T.'s kind of a bumbling fuck nugget. Did they try and just leave him behind on purpose?
Yeah, maybe they don't like him. Maybe they just left his ass. Because he yelled. He ran towards the ship. Somebody was looking out the window seeing the government people, so they knew.
Oh, no, we're good. Just fly.
It's like when you're on an elevator and you see somebody running towards the elevator and the doors are closed. One of my opening, but they're about to close. One of my favorite things.
I'm pressing the button. It's not doing anything.
No, I look at him and go, you got it! And I press the close button. And it's so satisfying.
Is that why people call you Carl the Bastard?
They should.
They do. They're just too polite.
Clearly, you are better friends with my friends than I am.
You use friends in a very loose and liberal term there.
Yeah.
Let's, okay, real quick, because we are running out of time. The major plot hole in this movie is, of course, that E.T., we discover at the end of the movie, well, we discover it halfway through, he can levitate those little balls and shit, but he can also levitate bikes and a bunch of bikes for a bunch
of kids.
Why couldn't
he just levitate himself?
Exactly.
The and very if he can't levitate movie, an organic thing, and you can or if you can levitate like an inanimate object, why didn't he stand on
a rock and just make the rock go up there, yeah.
Yeah.
Lazy shit.
They use stop motion? Of course they did.
With the flowers, I would imagine.
Oh yeah, no
with
shit.
The decomposing
okay.
flowers and then just run it backwards.
Figures. Oh, you guys just let that shit die. Don't even try and take credit for that.
So, let's quick review of the film. What do you think of it?
I liked it.
This is like the fourth Spielberg film we've done. We've done Jaws. We just started with Jaws, then we did Jurassic Park, and we did Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Well, he's had a hand in some of the greatest movies
and
of the last 30
years.
It
can't be helped. Yeah, he's one of the...
I hate Michael Bay explosions, but that motherfucker has put out gold so many times that, like, at this point, there will be some repeats.
Absolutely.
But I enjoyed it. There were some things that I didn't remember. There were some other things that I remembered differently than how they actually happened because I was a child.
Yeah.
More plot holes than I thought, just because I never cared.
Yeah.
Here we get drunk and pick shit apart.
Absolutely.
See, I liked it. How about yourself?
I enjoyed it. It's been so long since I've seen this movie all the way through. I didn't actually watch a great deal of it, but enough to pick up on some parts that were missing in my memory. So it's filled in the blanks. I'm happy we watched it. It was nice to kind of reminisce about the... like I say, this takes me back way, 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 way back to my childhood. So this was a fun movie to watch. I'm happy we checked it out.
Well, once again, thank you for listening to Big Gay Date. My name is Carl Skeens.
My name is Dave Mosley. Please join us next time and check us out on biggaydate.com. Let us know what you'd like us to watch next time, and we will see you next week. Thank you and good night.